The Black Male Archives, where we capture, curate, and promote positive stories about Black men.
All right, welcome back to the Black Male Archives. I'm your host, Rodney Freeman, and we have with us James Howard. How are you doing today, sir?
Rodney, I'm doing good, brother. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I got the chance to connect with you over LinkedIn, and I saw that you're doing this Black Inventors Museum. So we wanted to talk to you about that, kind of, you know, see what's going on with that and just see how you got that started and hear about your background. So can you tell the listeners where you from and how you got started?
Excellent. Well, I'm actually from Chicago, but I presently reside in New Jersey. I've been in New Jersey now for 41 years. I am a lifelong academician, 28 plus years in the classroom. I am an inventor, 20 plus products I've invented. I've designed more than 400 products. And I'm a serial entrepreneur that just loves to start up companies and use those as examples to show to others so that they too can follow in a similar track of being entrepreneurial. I own and operate a school called Entrepreneurial U, which is a private career school set up to teach long-term unemployed adults job skills and new career skills so that they can chart new career pathways. It's a program called Bridge. Okay. And also I'm a restaurateur. At the advent of COVID, I was owning and operating one of the state's most successful tea rooms called Cozy Cupboard. Mm. And COVID ended up shutting that down as it did most restaurants throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And I chose not to reopen it on the other side of COVID. Mm-hmm. What I chose to do was pivot in that moment towards what I'm doing now with the nonprofit Black Inventors Hall of Fame. And that is what has placed me on my track for the museum. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, I have another segment of the Black Inventors Hall of Fame called Black Inventors Hall of Fame Films. Mm. And my very first film, I was fortunate enough for that to be an award winner. It was recently awarded the Taggy Award in the toy and game industry for the Game Changer of the Year. So,
oh, congrats, man.
That's the 62nd elevator version of who I am and what I do.
Yeah. That's really awesome. Can you tell us what sparked this? Did it start when you were young, or what sparked this? Is wanting to be an entrepreneur, inventor? How did that come about?
Well, you know, I'm from, as I mentioned, I'm from Chicago. Eight kids. I'm the seventh of eight, and I think I was the one who had the most insatiable desire to want to know everything. You know, I was very curious. I had the biggest head, so there was a lot to pack in there and the ability to pack a lot in there. Yeah. And it paid off. I was just always curious. My father sort of led the way. He was a very mechanical man, very learned, only had like an eighth grade education, but read books insatiably throughout the day and all of that. And he would always teach you something. You could not be in my father's presence for more than a minute without him providing a lesson to you, right? Mm-hmm. So my brother, Michael, took the engineering side of that, and I adopted the more creative side of that because my father was also an artist. So that's how I kind of got my start, by my father and my sister Doris always nourishing and encouraging me to just explore, you know, explore.
Man, so, okay, so tell us about, so did the film come first and then the Black Inventors Museum, or which one came first?
Actually, the film component came first because when I started the nonprofit, the intent was to just provide archival information on an online platform about Black inventors, right? I wasn't even referring to it as a virtual museum experience. It was just a place you can go and learn about Black inventors, right? Mm-hmm. And then one of the unique features of it was that I wrote articles because I'm a design historian. So I started writing articles on Black inventors, everyone from Elijah J. McCoy to Granville T. Woods and people like that. And then I started writing articles on some present day inventors. And that is where I fell into this continuous succession of meeting toy and game designers who have done remarkable things in the toy and game industry, but yet those stories were untold. Mm-hmm. And within a span of about 2 months, I was fortunate enough to be introduced to Lonnie Johnson, the inventor of the Super Soaker, right? Right. And I became very good friends with him. Then I wrote an article on Lonnie. And then I was introduced to Ken Johnson, the designer of Phase 10, the second most popular selling card game in the entire world, right? Second only to Uno. So I have these Johnsons, right? I got the bookends of the Johnsons, both with highly successful products. Neither one of them had known one another. And then Ken Johnson introduced me to brother Elliot Eddy. And Elliot Eddy is the inventor of the only STEM authenticated board game in the entire world called the Entrepreneurial Board Game. And then from there, I started meeting other brothers, and I wrote articles on all three.
Yeah.
And then someone, this is interesting enough, Rodney, someone said, you know what? Have you ever thought about writing an article on this designer named Chuck Harrison? And I said, Chuck Harrison, that name sounds familiar. That name sounds familiar. Well, it turns out, you got it, man. You're very learned. But it turns out Chuck was my college mentor, and I had forgotten. Now, how embarrassing is that, right?
Wow.
So I said, well, wait a minute. You mean to tell me you're referring to my mentor, right? Yeah. So the moment I looked him up, I made the connection right away. But while I was writing the storyline, I had not made the connection. Mm-hmm. Now I have four remarkable gentlemen in the toy and game industry space, all with articles. But I say to myself, this needs to come off the page. This needs to be a movie. This needs to be a documentary called Black Inventors Got Game. Mm-hmm. That's what your viewers can go and look at, you know, now. And I trust you'll be able to give them information on how to connect with that film. Black Inventors Got Game. The first episode is called The Gathering, where I brought those four gentlemen. Charlie Harrison is dead now, but his son came to this particular event. And I brought those four. And then along the way, six others came along, right? Mm-hmm. We brought our brother David Bonner of Marvel superhero fame. This brother's done all kinds of great things. The Avenger, Iron Man, he designed one of those toy figures from that series. Mm-hmm. Brother Mont Morris, who designed and invented the Real Meal oven, right? You and your sisters and your cousin's siblings would have come up on the Easy Bake Oven. Mont designed the second generation of that, the Real Meal oven. And then other brothers came into the fold. The next thing you know, we're putting together a meeting, right, in Washington, D.C., and I titled it The Gathering, and where 11 of us in the toy and game industry space had come together to talk about diversity, right, equity and inclusion of African-Americans within not just the toy and game industry, but within the innovative space, period, right? So we laid all of those issues on the table and just had a great time. And that's the actual episode that won the Taggy Award.
Wow. That is, man, that is interesting. And like being able to going through and actually the process of filming and editing, how was all of that? And how was just how was the mood in the room? I know it was one of those things that just like happens once in a lifetime. So I know everybody was kind of soaking it in, but.
Oh, without a doubt, man. Yeah. I thought it was akin to a great day in Harlem, right? Scene, right?
Yep.
Well, that happened by happenstance, and that wasn't necessarily choreographed and planned days and weeks in advance. I had the luxury of planning this, but we did do the day before, we did pre-screening and pre-shooting because I brought everybody in the night before, right? So we had a cocktail hour. And there's this really neat scene in there where a guy from Google, of all people, was a big fan of Lonnie Johnson's. And when he saw us all right there at the bar enjoying our cocktail hour and getting to know one another, he came over and he pulled me aside and said, listen, is that Lonnie Johnson? Is that Lonnie Johnson? The Lonnie Johnson? And I said, yeah, it is. He says, look, that's my biggest fan. I'm his biggest fan in the whole world. Can I meet him? And so he's part of the film. You'll see him right there, Lauren Hudziak. And I allowed him to meet Lonnie, allowed him to take a picture with us and everything. But yeah, we knew we had something special right there in that moment. And then we decided to double down on that and take our show on the road.
Yeah.
So for the past year since the gathering, we've been appearing at sites as well as virtual meetings where we show the film, and then we have panel discussions. We all come back together and we do panel discussions.
Yeah, yeah, man, this is awesome. Like, what type of knowledge? I mean, just to have them there and being able to be in their presence. What would you say are like the top three things that you took away from what they said about, you know, their experiences in the toy and entrepreneurship industry?
Excellent. Well, it was all coming from the reference of being a Black man trying to achieve big things, right? Yeah. So the biggest takeaway was, no matter what obstacle you encounter, right, don't let anyone change your trajectory.
Yeah. Okay?
That was the biggest. That was number one. The second thing was what we discovered we all had in common. And that was a curious, mischievous, right, type of upbringing. Every single one of us had mischievous upbringings. So we learned that that is, in fact, not a unique quality just to us being Black kids, you know, trying to get through concrete jungles and whatever else we experienced, you know, ragged clothing and bullies or what have you. But we learned that there is a common thread of curiosity. And then the third thing we learned is that there's a common thread of empathy, right?
Yeah.
The African-American inventor of male and female persuasion just have this inward quality of being able to connect, right, with empathy, being able to connect with the needs of others and, to, you know, of serving others and helping to resolve issues related, whether it's a toy game or a medical product. Empathy sort of guides our convictions towards being creative. So empathy, right? Curiosity, right? And perseverance. Those were the big three takeaways from us getting together on that great weekend in Washington.
Yeah, man, I'm so, and I actually did get a chance to, you know, get a clip because I went to your site and saw a little bit of it. And yeah, I definitely will let the listeners know where they can be able to follow up and see that. But I do want to take this. I know this is a positive conversation, but I want to take a just veer off a little bit, right? So I want to understand why, in your opinion, and probably in some of the opinions that you, some of the inventors that you interviewed, maybe they've stated this too. Why is it then? When you, and this is, and the reason why I'm asking this question, because I had this talk like earlier today about Black men in the early days of the internet. So where I'm going with this question is like, why do you feel like the media then, when they talk about games and inventing toy games and card games, that in the mainstream media, it's like we're non-existent?
We are. But that's a storyline, right, that traces its arc all the way back many 100 years, right? Yeah. Even from the days of our forefathers, where you had both Thomas Jefferson and George Washington basically proclaiming publicly that the African-American intellectually is substandard to their white counterparts, right? So it took one of our earliest inventors, Brother Benjamin Banneker,
right,
to dispel that belief, right?
Right.
And when Endicott, the town surveyor in Washington, Endicott had an opportunity to work directly with Banneker on laying out the lands of the Washington area, he came away convinced that there was absolutely no merit in Washington's belief and Jefferson's belief that the African-American man and woman was substandard intellectually to whites, right? And he went on public notice as saying that. So that whole lineage starts there. Then you talk about the lack of an infrastructure, right? From both planning to resources to finances, We have always been behind the eight ball. This is why when we do achieve, mm-hmm. we achieve great. We're large people because that obstacle is always there. That wall is always there. That seed of doubt is always there. And if any moms and uncles and parents are listening to me right now, I want to encourage you right here in this moment that if your child is displaying some seeds of mischief as it relates to curiosity and wanting to ask questions and be creative, encourage that. Absolutely encourage that. Don't Yep. sow the seeds of doubt. As the great Lonnie Johnson would say, see in your kids what they can be and what you see, they will be.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, man. That's
so,
awesome.
You know, we're gonna always have that added edge. But what happens is because of those obstacles, because of that wall, that ceiling that tends to always be over our heads, when we do achieve, what we achieve is usually large, is dynamic. It serves a wide populace. And my goal, which is the reason why I'm doing the museum, is to bring to the public's awareness that as a people, we are more than just sports and music. And that, too, gets back to your question as well, right?
Yeah.
And that we have sort of been pigeonholed and stereotyped into realizing that our real grandness and our only grandness and capability capacity is in sports and music. And that is totally debunked. So at the Black Inventors Hall of Fame Museum and Science Learning Center, STEM Learning Center, you're going to meet some scientists who have done great things on the same level as the Thomas Edisons, right? As the Teslas and all of these people, as the Maxims. We have been on par with our intellectual properly abilities and with our pioneering genius, we have been on par with our white counterparts from day one, even prior to abolition. We have shown the ability to be absolute geniuses when it comes to thinking and when it comes to solving problems. And this is what the Black Inventors Hall of Fame Museum, which is scheduled to be located in Newark, New Jersey, and opening up in the year 2025, this is what it is going to dedicate itself to. It will be the only museum in the country dedicated exclusively to the pioneering genius of African-American inventors and innovators over the past 400 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. And, you know, you had a perfect segue of, you know, one in the parents encouraging the young ones to, you know, that curiosity and finding and being able to explore. Man. Right. But, you know, how can we continue to just expose especially young Black boys and young Black girls to STEM? How can we continue to do that?
One way to do that, again, is to encourage, all right? And then two, put material in front of them. Encourage them to, hey, if you got to stay on that cell phone, get off Twitter. Go somewhere where you're going to learn something. You know, revert back to some of those old days of looking up encyclopedias, right? Mm-hmm. Google doesn't have all the answers. You got to look, you got to open up books, you got to go to libraries, you have to go to museums. So we as adults need to show kids that there are more options than to just become totally absorbed in their cell phones, right? Yeah. There's so much more to this earth. So take them places, take walks, you know, go places, try to find nature because these concrete jungles that unfortunately we were subjected to during the ghetto days, particularly in the large cities from the Houstons to the Chicagos and the New Yorks and all of that, this concrete jungle ended up taking away an ability for us as creative individuals, right? Mm-hmm. To just be exposed to nature. All of these things help to make for a complete left brain thinking, right brain thinking individual. And if truth be told, that's probably the key to my success because on days that I got bored, I would leave the house and I would take long walks through what was called Washington Park, one of the largest parks in all of Chicago on the south side. Mm-hmm. I would just take long walks and get lost in space, man. Yeah. Daydream, daydream, daydream all day. And I think that's part of the key, our environment. And there have been books written on this subject. There have been lots of talking on it. Our environment, too, has played a role, right, in encouraging some of the plight that we find ourselves in, right? Yeah. Yeah. Prisons, gangs, you know, warfare, whatever it takes, we have created in the past, because trust me, things are changing right now. We need to get out of this whole ghetto mentality that the man has done something to us. We have the capacity to break through that. And something as simple as the gathering provides some of those answers, man. Use your creative abilities. Push hard. Don't let anyone bully you, as exemplified in Brother Elliot Eddy when his friends laughed and sneered at him for wanting to design his own, you know, series of Spider-Man comic books. What did he do? He went and grabbed the book and learned about how to become an entrepreneur. Right? Mm. He didn't let that bullying stop him, that sneering and that jeering stop them. When Lonnie Johnson decided he was going to learn how to make rocket fuel on his mother's kitchen stove, right? He didn't let that failed attempt stop him from exploring rocket fuels. He decided to open up more books, and he better be glad his daddy didn't whip his butt because he thought he was going to get a whipping. But his father and his mother encouraged him. Rather than, again, that's an example, seeing your kid what they can be and what you see they will be. So his father saw in Lonnie a future aerospace engineer.
Yeah.
He saw in Lonnie a future inventor, and he's become all of that. So we have let our environmental conditions and plight sort of shape our trajectory early on. But even in that, Rodney, we were still accomplishing big things of which have gone unnoticed. And this is, again, why our museum is so, so important. From A to Z, we have just covered the whole gamut of innovative contributions that have advanced this country over the past 400 years.
Man, that is amazing. That is amazing. And, definitely we want to make sure we get the word out about this. What other programs and projects are you doing right now until the museum opens up?
Sure. The museum is literally most of all of my time. And then the other time is spent on my film projects. So I'm doing the gathering is the prelude to three episodic series. The first series will feature two remarkable designers, Brother Ken Johnson and Brother David Vonner. And that takes place in Long Beach, Rhode Island, Long Beach, California. The second episode will highlight Brother Elliot Eddy and Lamont Morris, and that takes place in Reading, Pennsylvania. And then the third episode is going to close with Lonnie and Brother Chuck Harrison, and that takes place in Washington, D.C. So the full episodic series, if I have my way, will be featured on shows like Netflix or PBS or Discovery Channel or something like that. Yeah. But that's what's occupying my site from the film side. And then when I'm not occupying myself from the film side, I'm doing the museum side. But I do want to get this little pitch in. Right before we came on, I had just got off the phone with my script writer, Brother Twitch, and he's been with me now for a whole year on this project. I am writing my first feature-length film titled, plain and simply, Onesimus, right? And it tells the story of the African-American slave who came over here in 1706 and would go on, right, to save the town of Boston from the ravages of smallpox by introducing to them, right, the Western world's first inoculation process, right? That would eventually go on to the discovery, leading to the discovery of vaccines, right? But yet Onesimus does not get credit for being the inventor or the father of modern day vaccines. But yet he should get credit because when you connect that lineage and that whole timeline of the first patented vaccine, which is was awarded to an Englishman by the name of Edward Jenner, mm-hmm. right? That timeline connects directly to Onesimus's master and the town's doctor. His master was Cotton Mather, and the town's doctor was Zabdiel Boyston. And they would write papers, and those papers would be printed in the British journals and so forth and so forth. So all of the rules of the road that Jenner applied to the first vaccine is traced directly to the inoculation process that Onesimus had laid down and played out for both Zabdiel Boyston and Cotton Mather back in 1721.
Yes.
Yeah,
man. Oh, I learned something today, man. I always appreciate learning. So thank you.
Hey, listen, if I can get in just one more example of that 400-year arc, I mentioned Onesimus did what he did in 1721. You fast forward to 2021, right? And I introduce you to Dr. Nicole Hedalia Green, right? And this sister has a patent on a nanotechnology that is kicking cancer in the butt. Right. Mm. And is on a trajectory for eradicating cancer. OK, so that's that 400-year arc. And in between are just so many inventors, from Louis Latimer to Thomas Jennings to Elijah J. McCoy, Granville T. Woods, Dr. Katherine Johnson, Dr. Gladys West, Mark Dean. Man, we are so prolific. It's scary. Yeah. And the Black Inventors Hall of Fame Museum and STEAM Learning Center, again, will just be a tourist destination, and I'm just tickled pink at having the opportunity to lead the way on it. And if any of your customers or your viewers are interested in learning more about it, they can go directly to my website, bihof.org, and you can learn more about the museum, and you can even learn ways in which you can help support the cause. We would love to have you as part of that entire journey.
Man, sir, thank you so much for, I know this is a quick 30 minutes, and I know we could probably go on for some time talking about this, but we definitely are going to follow up with you, check in, make sure that we support you. But again, thank you so much for being on this podcast of the Black Male Archives, where we capture, curate, and promote positive stories about Black men, which you all want to. Thank you, sir, for being on this. And thank you for your time.
Brother Rodney, Measure for Measure, it was no better pleasure. I really thoroughly enjoyed this moment with you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you again.
All right.